Hi, I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us today in our journey of learning how we can live a longer life. And we begin with a study from Brigham Young University. An author published this in the Molecular and Cellular Proteomics, which is an important journal, and it talks about how eating less slows the aging process. Now, those of us in the field, and I've been in the field my entire life as a senior research fellow and director of the anti-aging department at the Institute of Applied Biology, doing hundreds of studies and actually over 55 clinical studies, plus health support groups, of which there were almost 100,000 participants over this many years. Many of you were in these. Some of you saw that on our hair study, see if we could regrow hair. We had 1,500 people who finished this study, 5,000 who started. We had to do it in one-hour elements at a high school on the east side to get all these people in, and it took 2 days just to get all this done. At the end of that study, by the way, this is an aside, but it's very important. At the end of the study of meeting on a regular basis and going into great depth about our body chemistry and the hair follicle and how hair grows and why we turn prematurely gray and the role of stress, and the role of nutrient deficiency like folic acid and vitamin D deficiency causes hair to thin and grow out, the role of hormones when you have too much estrogen, too much testosterone, how that impacts hair growth or the loss of hair, and then male pattern baldness, female pattern baldness. We dealt with all this in great depth. At the end of the study, we took measurements of everyone's hair. They turned in journals. And the coloration, and we had about 5% of the people grew new hair, eyebrows came in, natural color came in to their hair. And anyone who dyed their hair at the beginning, we couldn't have in the study because we had to see, was it possible as a theory, a hypothesis, to reverse the coloring of the hair when it turns gray? Can you reverse it? We were told no. Okay, let's challenge it. We did. And in 5% of the people, we changed their hair. The oldest gentleman in the study was 84 years of age. When he came in, he had been completely bald for 15 years. When he left the study a year later, he had hair that was about an inch long, and it was his natural color. So can we grow our hair thick? Yes. I have male pattern baldness in my family. Every single man in my family, all my uncles, my brothers, father, all bald. I was losing my hair. Now, I don't drink, smoke, do drugs, don't eat the sugar. I have a very strict diet, and still I couldn't slow down the thinning. But then I started doing energy work, and look at my hair today. It's thick and grows really fast, natural color, auburn, that's my natural color. And I don't use makeup, and I don't use anything on my hair. I've got all these lights shining on me, a high-definition camera, so you can see for yourself. But the key was commitment to the protocol. See it through. Now, since that time, we film everybody on day one, and they have to do a whole history of what, if they're sick, what's the illness, where's the medical proof, get your doctor or hospital to give you the records. So we have an absolute proof before and after. And then we work with people who are in our studies on an individual basis. And we have astronomical success with every single study we do. Just want to share that with you. Why? Because here I'm in a dietetic class, and I'm learning that, well, you can have 3 tablespoons of sugar and put it in this patient's diet. And I'm thinking, hold on a second. You actually equated the fructose in an apple to the sucrose and white sugar as being equal in the body? They're not. Oh, yes, they are. So I went back, did my homework, and brought it forward. Mind you, these are the dietitians in all your clinical settings, in high schools for the food, the garbage they feed you, and in hospitals. And I found in 1 year, 50,000 Americans died of malnutrition that they got from the hospital. 50,000 in 1 year. That's more than, that's way up there with the Vietnam. That's dietitians in 1 year and the doctor. Doctor tells the dietitian what the diet should be, and it's just garbage. And yet, because of the politics of it, because of the profit from all these vendors, nothing ever changes. Now, some of the hospitals will charge you a fortune, but they'll give you healthy food, but you pay a fortune for that. It shouldn't be that way. But the average American is consuming more meat this year, 6 extra pounds, than ever before. Fewer people are vegans than in the last 50 years. How's that possible? How is it possible less people are on a plant-based diet after all the studies and the knowledge and the human experience, what happens when we eat healthy? But that's where we're at. Why do you think that's the case? Later on in our program, I'd like you to call in and share your points of view. Our talkback number is 888-874-4888. Now, I realize some people are just watching the health nutrition segment, and that's all they care about. That's fine. But for those of you who watch the full program, which always starts with the latest in health nutrition, I'd like to hear your thoughts. Why, with all the information, honest information, good science, independent science, that your lifestyle determines how long you're going to live and what illnesses you will or not have, shouldn't we be more concerned? Shouldn't we be more disciplined? Should we be more focused? And yet we're not. We're just the opposite. We go out of our way to create disease. Now, we don't want the disease. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, I don't have enough pain. I need more pain in my diet. Yeah, so I'm going to eat this so I can feel bad. My heart's not irregular enough. I'm going to eat this, drink that. My liver needs to have more cells die. No, we don't do that. But the outcome is identical. So what we don't pay attention to and what we don't maintain and we're not concerned about, there's a negative outcome, always. So when you have this study from Brigham Young University, published in a peer-reviewed journal, saying how eating less can slow the aging process, they're right. And they're not the only study showing that. Intermittent fasting, when you stop eating at dinner and you don't eat again till breakfast, that extends your lifespan. There are hundreds of studies on this. And yet, when was the last time the Surgeon General or your doctor or anyone said, let's go from dinner to breakfast? Now, if you should get hungry, have some cold water, put some ice cubes in it with some lemon juice. That kills the appetite. No, we won't do that. Or if you did have to eat something, eat some organic popcorn because it won't allow the anabolic activity. You don't have the calories. We don't do that. You know, it's 10 o'clock at night and suddenly someone who just had dinner at 7 o'clock is ordering in a pizza. And then we wonder why we're a nation that is the most obese nation in the world per population. And that says something. Because with that obesity comes heart disease, cancers, Alzheimer's, dementia, all these conditions. So in any case, what we have learned is relatively straightforward. We have to pay attention to reducing our calories. Remember, when you're having fruits and vegetables, with a few exceptions, you're not getting a lot of calories, but you are getting a lot of good nutrients, phytonutrients, amino acids, vitamins, minerals. You're getting what you need, the essential fatty acids in particular. All these things help you nourish your cells, replace disease cells, repair injured cells. It's really terrific. And it doesn't take long. Within 2 to 3 weeks, you begin to see it manifesting. More energy, a brightness in your eyes, better digestion, you're no longer constipated. All these things start to happen. But you got to be disciplined enough to eat less. So how about a smoothie for breakfast, and your largest meal should be at lunch, and you should have some vegetables, some grain, some beans, pulses, and some tubers, squash, parsnips. That's a good meal, any combination thereof. A seaweed soup, a seaweed salad, something small for dinner. If you did that, you're going to lose weight. You're going to lose body mass index. You're going to have more energy. You're going to sleep better. You'll be less susceptible to heart disease, diabetes, cancer. So just saying, that's what this study showed. Now, and by the way, we're eating more calories, not less. We're more obesity, not less, and more heart disease, not less. Now, I've suggested on many occasions that we use Manuka honey, Manuka, because it's really healing element. I put it on when I'm working on the farm or the ranch. You're always going to be cut, bruised. You got animals. You got barbed wire fencing. You got a lot of physical work. Yeah. You just accept it. You know, I got a scratch. Oh, I cut myself here. Put some hydrogen peroxide on it. Then put some colloidal silver on it. And then you put some Manuka honey on it. Makes a huge difference. Or just to help yourself, if you're around people who have colds and flu, take the proper precautions, stimulate your immune system. And one way I do it is I have a little squeezy, and I put hydrogen peroxide and I put colloidal silver. Just spritz it into the nostrils, because this area here is where an awful lot of congestion of the viruses and bacteria occur. And this, by flushing out the nasal passages, you're doing yourself a lot of good. Now, you can use saline solution, but cleaning it up, I found with diluted hydrogen peroxide or colloidal silver. Before I go on an airplane, I spritz in my nostrils colloidal silver. It creates a barrier here. You can take an old-fashioned mouthwash, one that I would not use, that has a little bit of alcohol in it, and you gargle for 60 seconds, spit it out. You've got a really kill chamber in your mouth now, your gums. So when any kind of bacteria or viruses that you don't want in your body come into this area, more often than not, they're killed. Simple things. So we've got to pay attention. Well, evaluating the effects of Manuka honey on collagen scaffolds. This was done at the University of Illinois at the Urbana campus. So bones of the face and skull can be affected due to a wide range of conditions, including cleft palate defects, traumatic injuries, cancer, bone loss from dentures. And although bone replacements are routinely used to regenerate the missing tissue, they're vulnerable to bacterial infections. In a new study, researchers investigated whether Manuka honey made from tea trees can be used to resist bacterial infection and promote bone growth. And bone implants account for 45% of all hospital contracted infections. So that's a big deal. And that impedes healing. Typically, these implants are made from biomaterials that contain extracellular matrix components, molecules that provide structural support to cells. However, researchers commonly use metal implants or synthetic polymers to study bone defects and infections. Therefore, there is a gap in the understanding of how biomaterials behave in response to infection. So the researchers use collagen scaffolds to study whether Manuka honey can be incorporated to inhibit the growth of Pseudomonas and Staphylococcus aureus, two bacteria that commonly infect bone wounds. And they found this actually worked. So the takeaway message is Manuka honey can make a difference when it's used to help with the infections in the mouth, and especially when it comes to collagen scaffolds. So that's just one extra little piece of information. But I always suggest, if you're going to be around people with colds or flu, take a half a teaspoon of Manuka honey, put it in the back of your mouth, and just let it dissolve naturally. That also is important as well. Remember, Manuka honey has natural antibiotic capacity. It can kill bacteria. So that's important. And German Cancer Research Center found that iron deficiency suppresses important arm of the innate immune system. Two proteins ensure that cells can take up iron when needed. If both control proteins are switched off, then that's not good. Surprisingly, at the same time, a cell type of innate immune defense, the neutrophils, also dramatically decrease. So according to the German Cancer Research Center, you should have adequate amounts of iron in the diet. So if you're eating prunes, if you're eating beets, if you're eating dark green vegetables, including spinach and collard greens and kale, then you'll get your iron. If not, just make sure you get low dose vegan iron resource. Remember, the iron coming from animal proteins is different than the iron coming from vegetable sources. So get your vegetable source iron in adequate amounts. Doesn't take a lot, and it can help you. Helps your innate immune system. Simple. And finally, a new study outlines why meditation and yoga and prayer can, what it does to the human body. This is from the Benson Henry Institute at Harvard University. In lay language, they're telling us that relaxation response techniques such as meditation and yoga and prayer, deep breathing, could reduce the need for healthcare services by 43%. Wow. The study was at Harvard, Massachusetts General Hospital, that's affiliated with Harvard, that looked at participants in a relaxation response focused training program. And the paper's authors noted that stress-related illnesses such as anxiety and depression are the third highest cause of health expenditures in the United States after heart disease and cancer. Who knew that, right? The study based at the Institute of Technology Assessment and the Benson Henry Institute for Body-Mind Medicine found that individuals in the relaxation response program use fewer healthcare services in the year after their participation than the previous year. That's good news. So contrary to the so-called experts who are not experts at all on Wikipedia, a propaganda forum, yes, energy medicine works. And this is all part of energy medicine. And we're just now beginning to appreciate how important it is to stay relaxed, stay calm. Just say to yourself when you feel stressed, pull back, breathe deeply, exhale fully, and just keep saying, calm. Stay calm. And after about 10 to 20 seconds, the cortisol levels come down. And that's important because elevated cortisol from stress creates free radicals. Free radicals destroy cells. Destroyed cells create disease. Now, when you take your antioxidants like vitamin C and E, etc., they trap those free radicals and help in the process. So meditation, yoga, breathing, prayer, and then take your antioxidants, and it can help you live a longer and healthier life. And the good science is there from Harvard and other studies to prove it. Now, on tomorrow's program, I don't have time today, 16 reasons black cumin seed oil is the remedy for everything but death. That'll be tomorrow. We're going to take a break now and come back. And remember, I'm interested in your input. Why do you think we are a nation in denial of the best choices we can make for ourselves in almost everything? How many times have you heard people say, I can't buy what I need, and yet I've got all these credit card bills? And then you ask a person, did you buy the healthiest food if you're limited in what food you can buy, like grains and pulses and legumes? No, because it's cheaper for me to go get hamburgers. But that then leads to disease, that leads to obesity, that leads to cancer and diabetes. Yeah, and you don't have the medicines to pay for all that. Yeah, so now you're broke. How many things do you buy that you did not need? Yeah, I got a lot of that. So wouldn't it make sense then to be very conscious that only buy the things you need? So you're not always in debt. But that's not what we do. Just the opposite. And you see this at Christmas, out of guilt, people got to buy stuff. And even the idea, I'm sure you've all seen the commercials, if you really love her, show her by buying that diamond. Well, what's a diamond? It's just a stone. Why does it have value? Because we've commodified it. We commercialized it. So the more the diamonds you give, the more supposed love you're sharing. It's all nonsense. It's just nonsense. You're buying something at hyper retail. Now go try to sell it. 1 hour after you bought it, go back to the place and say, I want to sell this back to you. Okay, we're going to give you below cost. So I paid $1,000. You're giving me $50? Yeah. Wow. Yeah. It's just all a game. So we got to stop long enough to say, What choices do I have that allow me to live a longer life, healthier life, more secure life? And what choices am I making and why that can lead to disease, bankruptcy, loss of relationship? Why? If we have freedom of choice, why are we always making the wrong choice? Just look at the people we vote for. That's really bad choices. In any case, I want to hear what you have to say. 888-874-4888. You can find all my current articles, all my essays, investigative reports, documentaries by going to GaryNoll.com. You'll see all the different captions, articles, films. You can also go to Rumble and look down at Gary Noll's film library, Odyssey, and for health and nutrition information, you can go to Gary Noll on YouTube. Back in a moment. Please stay with us.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Gary Noll. I want to telephone because we're just having some technical issues with our Comrex unit out of New York. But if you can hear me all right, good. We're going to be talking about banks admit the collapse is coming. This is what I've been telling you. Now, there's a lot of very high-quality independent confirmation of this. So you really ought to know what to do. Also, from Bill Maher, new rule, equality of outcomes. Okay. Then a 12-year-old girl exposes the dystopian reality of the 15-minute cities that the World Economic Forum and others are trying to make us live in. Meaning, wherever you go, you're going to have to go there in 15 minutes. You got 15 minutes that you can go to. But if you go further than that, then it's going to cost you. Why? Well, they got some weird idea that it's going to stop global warming or lessen it. It won't. Also, the United States is supporting Ukrainian pensions in the most corrupt country in that part of the world. None of that money is going to rebuild the country. It's all going into special interest pockets. Do we care? Don't care a whit about it. And if time permits, a commentary that I think we need to hear. And then you can call in and give your point of view on that. By the way, for the last 2 days, we have not been on WBAI because I've been doing the best they can to do fundraising. And I received a letter that went out to everyone, and from Bertolt Reimers, the station manager, talking about it, literally the station's at death's door because they need $150,000 immediately. They're not getting help from the national office, and they're not getting help from a lot of the producers, and et cetera. It's a mess. They're not getting any help from the local station board, even though some of the station managers have or people have good ideas. They're being thwarted by people. It's just a constant internecine conflict. So the station is in crisis. Well, not for the first time. But this time, there are those who would like to see the station gone. And what they'll likely do is they'll make an effort to either get rid of KPFK or BAI. Take that money and do with it what they choose to do inside of Pacifica. And then just send in canned music or canned talk from KPFA. No more local programming, my program included. Well, if that happened, I would go off BAI because I would want nothing at all to do with Pacifica. In any case, so for those of you who would like to help BAI, give a call to their buddy system. That's something that can help them. And that's easy to do. You simply call 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. And so you want to become a BAI buddy. And they'll ask you how much can you afford each month, and then at least that helps. Because they can't make payroll. How long do you think that the engineers, the program director, the station manager is going to stick around if they have bills to pay and there's no money coming in? So I suggested, or I will suggest, that they go to a plan B. I won't go into my plan B suggestion, but it's a good idea. And I'll see what I can do. And I'm coming up with some new premiums this week for the station to help them out. By the way, just on many different fronts, because this also reaffirms from the orthodox point of view, from the establishment, what we've been discussing. For example, how many times have I done programs on the environment, more than any other radio program in American history, by the way. And I've been talking about, we have somewhere around 60 million Americans living in danger zones that are not sustainable. And we see homes burned down, homes washed away, mudslides, homes torn up because of hurricanes with no insurance to cover it. And it's really devastating people. You never hear the backstory. You never hear, well, what happens in Louisiana when 67,000 homes were destroyed inland where they never had had a hurricane there, and they had so much damage that their insurance didn't cover flood insurance in the middle of the state, on the shores, not in the middle of the state. We never hear about that. What happens to them? What happens to a person that's fired from one of these jobs? Where do they go? Do they ever become homeless? You bet. But it's like we don't want to know the back end of a story. Well, here's from The Guardian. That's as orthodox as you can get. That's as pro-Clinton, pro-Obama, and pro-currently Biden. Quote, the American climate migration has already begun. Millions of Americans will be displaced, and neither they nor the government or the housing market are ready. And I want to thank a citizen journalist out there who is always sending us good material, Sharon Willems. Sharon's my friend from West Virginia, and she has spent her entire life reporting on issues that make a difference. Thank you, Sharon, for sharing that. So now other people know it. Remember I told you, get out of the banks? Get out of the banks while you can, because we're going into a meltdown in the next 24 months or sooner. This is today. Quote, Credit Suisse collapses on the stock market. The chairman of the board of directors of the second largest Swiss bank is under investigation by the Swiss authorities. And this is from the street. Credit Suisse is definitely sinking into the crisis. The emergency plan launched in October already seems to be far away, and the bank's difficulties do not seem to want to go away. That bank is going to collapse, but American banks are going to collapse. Why? Because we allowed, under Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, remember their tag team match, and they decided to get rid of one of the most important pieces of legislation we've ever had. And they eviscerated. Why? Because the Clintons, along with Al Gore, wanted to show that they were the new Democrats. Ah, new in what way? Well, that they were not going to be as left and as liberal, though they would still use those monikers so they could keep everyone in line. But they were going to go towards the Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, and their ideas for New America. And so in order to help poverty, they took a massive amount of poor people, mainly African-Americans, people of color, off the government's programs of subsidizing them and our welfare programs. Never an article against them for this, and never a word about all the people who suddenly were left not able to buy food. So, you know, this is one of the consequences. Always follow something through to see where it leads, but we don't do that. And they wanted to get, you know, they wanted to have a better approach to crime. So what happened? Under Clinton, under Bush, or under Obama? They lock more people of color up in prison for the use of drugs than any president in American history. But they were never called out. Even when they were using drugs, admitted they were using drugs, what hypocrisy. So you use drugs, like a lot of other people, yet you got rewarded for it on the sales of your book, and you were kind of now looked upon as, boy, he's like us. You know, look at him throwing football in the vice president's yard over there. Oh, by the way, just to stick a needle in it, Al Gore, you know, the favorite of the environmental movement, that's why I have nothing to do with the environmental movement, it's a complete fraud. Environmentalism, yes, because I'm a real environmentalist, and there are a few of us in this country, and we know what to do to protect the environment, protect the oceans from overfishing, acidification, the bleaching of the coral reefs, everything wrong. There are really good people out there, and a lot of them, Diane Kruger and many others, and yet no one pays attention to them. They don't get a line. They get invited anywhere. But Al Gore, well, Al's heading up a hedge fund he owns worth billions of dollars. Last time I saw it was $7 billion. I don't know what it is now. But now there's 20 companies we just discovered that his hedge fund is invested in that all are major carbon-emitting, major polluting companies. I see. So you rail against pollution, and yet you invest in companies that pollute because they give higher premiums out or higher stock value returns for stockholders. Makes perfect sense. No hypocrisy there. Yeah, it's total hypocrisy. But no one will call him out in the environmental movement. Our total environmental movement is one gigantic fraud, top to bottom. And yet none of these clowns, not one of them, is doing a damn thing to help stop the climate from getting worse, or advocating people move to areas that are sustainable, or getting off the grid, or changing their diet, or planting trees. Nothing that really matters. But it's all about how we can capture the carbon market and capture the carbon trading market so we can profit off of it. It won't change pollution at all. It just gives the big countries like China a chance to say, well, we're paying $20 billion, and therefore that will compensate someone, and that's all going to go into someone's pockets, never the public's. It's all a game. You've been played like you're idiots, but you're not idiots. You just weren't informed. So when I told you to get out of banks, I hope the hell you're smart enough to do it, because if you're not, you're going to get smacked. Now, don't take my word for it. I just gave you a major headline from the street about one bank. That's just the beginning. Where should you put your money then? Well, the banks now are going after credit unions. But still, I would still trust the credit unions to disperse in small amounts in different credit unions that have a history. Do your homework. Get the ratings. Do they only loan money to individuals? And if so, what is their reserve policy? How much do they loan out against the reserve? Those are the conscientious banks you put your money in. But the ones that are getting into the gambit of gambling, that's what caused the banks to go broke in 2008. And, have nothing to do with them, nothing. Tear up their credit cards. Pull your money out. Put it where at least you don't have pathological liars overseeing it. Gold, silver, treasuries. Why treasuries? Because even though the dollar is going to drop in the next 24 months because of the movements of China and its Silk Road to incorporate up to 67 different countries, including Saudi Arabia, and Argentina and other major countries in the Middle East and Europe, they're all part of the Great Silk Road. The Chinese are lavishing trillions of dollars on this project, and they're building things in record time that no one else on Earth could ever do. So the government of the United States cannot default. If the United States Secretary of Treasury said, well, we're sorry, people, but all of you holding T-bills, we cannot honor them. Within 2 to 3 hours, the entire American economy would collapse. You would see long lines at every bank, and the bank saying, sorry, we don't have any money. Well, I put all my money in. Too bad. So I'm telling you, buy an RV. Pay cash. Get out of debt. If you're going to stay in your home, pay off the mortgage. Because those who have the dollar pegged to their assets, which is virtually all the equities, when the dollar collapses, and it's going to collapse, you have no idea how much you're going to lose. And most people lose everything, including the $15 trillion that are in retirement funds, because that money's not sitting in some bank account accruing interest. That's part of the gamble. That's part of the act that was thrown out the window that didn't allow banks to gamble and exploit their situation. But now that's all they do. And BlackRock and other companies control those assets. Just sharing this with you. Now, so you want to get your money where you can use it, pay off your mortgage, so no matter what happens to the economy, you have a home that you can't be thrown out of. Buy hydroponics so you can grow food. Freeze dryers so you can freeze dry your food so it's good for 30 years. Now's the time to activate your own survival needs, because no one's going to be there to help you. Once this happens, it's a tsunami that's 7,000 feet high going to hit us. I hope I'm wrong. I'll be the first to say, thank goodness I was wrong. But let's go to a clip to show you why a lot of other smart people think think this is absolutely happening now, and people are not paying attention because the media is not drawing attention to itself. So we have some clips I told you we're going to play today. This is the first clip. This is the clip that talks about banks admitting the collapse is coming, and they don't want you to know about it. We do. This is redacted news.
Have you noticed recently that not all of your money is in your bank account? Perhaps you've noticed that your direct deposits are having issues. Maybe you've got a direct deposit, but all of it's not there. Maybe a portion of it is missing for some reason. Have you experienced this? Let us know. We actually have a poll up right now, and you can drop us a comment below if you're watching us later. You're not alone, though, if you're experiencing this, because, in fact, we here at Redacted have been hearing from a number of you. And as many of you have said now, we've had thousands of people vote in our poll, and they've all been experiencing issues. Turns out you're not alone in this. Well, we're going to have more on exactly what's happening to these bank accounts in just a moment. But first, something big is happening to our money supply. And the banking system is starting to freak out a little bit. They don't want to say this publicly, but they're starting to freak out. And my question is, are we about to learn that the emperor has no clothes?
I have a question.
Yeah, fire away.
Just to see if it's related, because I just had this recently. Never had it happen before. I have an Apple credit card. It's backed by Goldman Sachs. And generally when I make my payment, that money is available instantly. I made a payment this week and I call them. I'm like, this money isn't showing up. They said, yeah, you've got a 10-day hold now on that money. It already came out of my bank, but it is not showing on the Apple card because they said it's going to take 10 days. I'm like, 10 days? So I asked for it to be escalated, and they said they'll escalate it, but it'll take 10 days or so for somebody to respond.
Which is so interesting, because this is one of the main arguments behind going to a Bitcoin type or a blockchain type currency, is that you wouldn't have to go through this ancient infrastructure, that money would be immediately available, although it's a much less efficient transaction. Blockchain transactions take a lot longer than, say, bank-related transactions, but at least
I thought it was the opposite.
No.
The interviews that I've done on blockchain with blockchain technologists say it's instantaneous. And whereas the wire transfers can take,
hours. Consumer purchases. Oh, they cannot process consumer purchases in the same speed
Like if you go to the store.
Yes.
Those transactions.
Yes, but say, bank to bank, person to person transfer would be much more efficient. So it's interesting that this is proving itself to us before our very eyes.
So, are we looking at the emperor has no clothes here? Or are we, to put it another way, are we learning now that the banks have no money in their vaults and they're ready to take your money instead? Just yesterday, Bank of America issued this alert. Bank of America still forecasting 2023 recession. Fed action not enough. An odd alert, actually, saying that they're forecasting a massive recession for 2023. And they went further to say that the federal government is not doing enough to stop it. What the federal government is doing won't stop it. It's odd that they're putting this out. So just to put a pin in that for a moment, because Bank of America, we'll use that name because Bank of America making this statement. So just remember Bank of America for a moment. But first, really important to provide some context. And for that, we need to go back to the year 2013. Travel with me, if you will, back to the Mediterranean island of Cyprus. In 2013, following the collapse of the housing market in the United States, that calamity flowed to Europe in a domino effect for the small Mediterranean country of Cyprus. Remember this?
Outside the banks, the lines are long, customers worried.
You don't have cash now, can't do anything.
The banks haven't opened for 7 days, so Cyprus is becoming a cash society, and yet it's hard to get cash.
No accounts, no cards, no nothing.
So what will they do?
God knows. Suicide.
Increasingly, this is happening.
What happened?
There's no money. I mean, I couldn't get any money out, and then my card won't come out.
So not only is there no money, but then you take my card as well. It was particularly devastating. Tourism dried up. Unemployment skyrocketed. Commercial property prices plummeted 30% in value. And the Cypriot banks had a lot of exposure to local property, which was overvalued. When the economy collapsed, all these properties lost tons of value. The banks suddenly didn't have collateral to cover the money in these banks. I went to the bank to try to get money out of the bank. Sorry, unavailable, they said. No money. You can't come here. So if the bank had $1 billion of your money or of the people's money, it spent your money on other investments and on loans, loaning out money. So it didn't actually have any of your money in the bank. That was the real secret. That, of course, is the dirty secret of the banking sector, right? It's called fractional reserve banking. And it used to be that they only had to keep 10% of your money in the bank, and they could lend out the rest of it. So the law was 10%. You put in $100, the bank had to keep $10 in the bank. They could lend out the other 90 in a loan, a mortgage to somebody else, right? That's how it works. Then when COVID hit, they scrapped that. No more 10%. Now they could literally give 100% of your money away in form of loans, mortgages. So if you went down to your local bank, hey, is my money in this bank? No, it's not. It's gone. It's literally not here. And if you try to get a deposit or a withdrawal, good luck. They'll tell you to come back another day. That's how it works. So keep none of it in the bank because, you know, we're lending it fully out. The idea was ridiculous, right? Like, why during COVID was this in an effort to try to help the banks? Like, lend out 100% of your money, the average person's money, because we need the banks to be able to be saved, not you.
I'm not sure. So that, well, I mean, it's not like they lowered any lending requirement to civilians or to, you know, customers. What were you going to say?
So just imagine they overvalued all the real estate, shot through the roof, but then when the economy collapsed, all of those overvalued properties collapsed. But people had taken out second mortgages thinking, oh, I've got plenty of money invested in my house, so I can take out $100,000, $200,000. I'm still good. No, when you borrow against your mortgage or the value of your property for a second mortgage, let's say, all of the value in your house is owned by the bank. So now the bank doesn't want your property because it's lost all of its value. So who's behind all this? The big equity partners. They come into a place, they take over hospitals, they take over small businesses, doctors' businesses, and then they control the cost of what you have to pay. And they're really brutal. And that's why we don't have universal health care. We should. Think of all the people who promised you, and any civilized society would offer universal health care. So you don't have to pay money to go. Part of your taxes go towards a general fund. And you get rid of all the insurance industry, which would be good. You get rid of all the predatory profiteering. You get rid of that. Get rid of all the fraud. You include in that paying for science-based medicine, meaning show me that the medicines you're giving work, not a study you've done that's a fraudulent study, and that we will cover. That would get rid of all this iatrogenesis or the drug or medically induced injury and death. But we won't do that, nor will we take all the money out of elections, which we should, and nor will we get rid of the advertisements on television or put a black box warning on for all those meals that you're supposed to eat that can cause disease, and do. They know it. But the people who profit from all this control everything. So it's not going to change. They're not going to change. Nobody's going to say, I'm sorry, let me give something back. That's never happened. That won't happen. Not in your lifetime. So here's the warning. Get off their grid. Stop playing in their game. Because you'll lose. And then what are you going to do? Just put one more merit badge of suffering, of being a victim? This time it's on you. Stop supporting the people who have no interest in you except exploiting you financially. That's our capitalist system. And by the way, the next time you hear Sean Hannity, a warmonger, and his audience, you know, many me warmongers, saying socialism is evil, okay, good. We don't want socialism. Sean Hannity, we don't want it, and you and the other neocons. All right, then we don't want hospitals, public hospitals. We don't want fire trucks. We don't want fire stations. We don't want the Coast Guard. We don't want the police, because the police socialize for our benefit. So is that what you want? I have never met such dim-witted people in my life, and yet they have huge audiences, which shows me the larger the audience, the smaller the perception of reality of the people who are sharing their points of view. Anyhow, I'd like to hear what you think about all this, because if you stick around where it's not environmentally sustainable, you run a big risk of being clobbered. If you're around Lake Mead, Lake Powell, Hoover Dam, Nevada, Oklahoma, Colorado, South Dakota, not South Dakota, New Mexico, most of California, half of Texas, then and Kansas, it's not, are these places in permanent drought? You will not be able to live enough generations to see the day when all the drought's gone. So it's only going to get worse. So what are we going to do? Give something up? We don't want to give anything up, Gary. Okay, well then, don't complain when the S hits the fan. And it's going to, and it is now. It's not like this is a secret. Let's go over now and hear from a 12-year-old girl who challenges the dystopian reality of living in what are called 15-minute cities, where you should be able to get to wherever you need to go, you know, for dry cleaners or a restaurant or a movie theater in 15 minutes. Because if you do that, that's good. But if you go beyond 15 minutes, it's not good, and we've got to punish you for that. And that's going on right now in Oxford, England. That's the template. Then watch how quickly it goes up to Joe and those fools up in Canada who run the government. All, by the way, these are all protégés of Klaus Schwab. Let's hear the clip.
I could stand here and say more or less what other people are going to say about the effect of these 15-minute neighbourhoods, soon to become digital ID facial recognition zones. Let's say my friend lives in Zone 3 and I'm in Zone 1. If, for example, I went to my friend's house in Zone 3, my parents normally come and pick me up in their car. It only takes 10 minutes. So does that mean that they would have to go round the ring road and back into town again? If my mum or dad had to drive round the ring road, it would take 30 minutes, causing much more pollution and leaving a much bigger carbon footprint. They will say, you can walk home. Would that be safe for me to walk home? Me as a 12-year-old walking home in the dark alone. Is that really going to be safe? Then they will say, oh, don't worry about that. We've already thought of that. You'll be safe. We will have 1,000 cameras on the streets following you and tracking you all the way home. Oh, and just remember, it's for your safety. What? Are you serious? Do you really think I want to be watched every second of the day? Are you serious? Thousands of cameras tracking my every move until I get home. At this point, I have to ask, is my safety that important to me that I want to be followed by cameras all the way home? Or do I prefer to have freedom than privacy? For your information, I still wouldn't feel safe. No amount of cameras is going to stop someone who wants to attack me. I want to be safe, but not to the extent that I am prepared to give up my freedom and my privacy to have it. As a 12-year-old, I am really concerned about my future. And to Klaus Schwab, I say this. How dare you! How dare you steal my childhood and my future, and the future of all children by enslaving us in your crazy digital surveillance prison. We all know where this is leading. These are the first steps of a dystopian reality called 15-minute neighborhoods. From a small seed, a huge tree can grow. Climate change is being used to control us, to nudge us in the direction the greedy people want us to go. The truth is that the greedy people want total control over everything we do, everything we think, and everything we say. Our government has been hijacked by greedy and selfish imposters posing as politicians. They believe they are better than us and masters over us. And until this problem is effectively dealt with, the tyranny will continue. Thank you.
What she said is absolutely accurate, and that's important. So we have to realize that they want to watch every step you take. Also, when you're in these 15-minute cities, you're only allowed to go out of the city around the whole circle to go right back in to one block away. So let's just say you were in a dividing line in a city, and you were in one street, but on the other end of the street, on the other end of the block where you live, you know, 1 minute walk, you couldn't walk there. You had to go out and around and then back. So it took you a half hour out and over, half hour back, instead of just going across where you can now. They're micromanaging. And by the way, I don't have time today, but I will tomorrow, tell you about what I warned you was coming. It's here. Remember. Remember this. They never talk about something that they don't already have ready to market. They're merely getting feedback and disguising all that feedback as, well, we're working on. No, they have it. For example, they have the capacity to chip your brain with even a smaller chip, not even the size of a quarter, where they can read your thoughts and control your actions. So how many people are going to line up for that? Mainly people who are depressed and anxious. I don't want to feel depressed anymore. I don't want to feel anxious anymore. Sign me up. Okay, not a good thing, but they'll do it. So this is dystopian, and yet people distract themselves so they don't have to do anything, or if they do become aware of something, they stay almost as if they're like a deer in the headlights. They freeze. They don't know what to do. Become self-actualized. Look at the 1,500 intentional communities around the United States. If you can afford to, if you have the means to, move out of the major cities. All right? All of them. Because that's where only the wealthy will be safe. And oh, by the way, you know, they told the young girl, don't worry, we'll have cameras. Okay, well, how many cameras do we have in New York City showing all the people getting raped, beaten, slugged, killed, mugged, sucker punched, robbed, including senior citizens? They're all on film. So what exactly good, outside of showing the district attorney, who in some cities will say, that robber, don't blame them, they weren't breastfed enough, it's a child, let them go. Well, what about the victim? They'll get over it. I mean, we live in a very strange place. And finally, this clip. This is only 29 seconds long. This is what the President of the United States said to the Ukrainian people.
And to deliver much-needed humanitarian assistance as well as food, water, medicine, shelter, and other aid to Ukrainians displaced by Russia's war, and provide aid for those seeking refuge in other countries from Ukraine. It's also going to help schools and hospitals open. It's going to allow pensions and social support to be paid to the Ukrainian people so they have something in their pocket. It's also going to provide critical resources to address food shortages around the globe.
Every single thing he said was inaccurate. You won't see anything being rebuilt because of this. This is already going into the pockets of the most powerful people in Ukraine. And it's not audible. They're not being asked to keep careful records. We've already seen them selling different weapon systems on the black market. Yeah. And so this is where your tax dollars go. And yet, look at one example of where money should go, our concern should go, FEMA should go. And that is Palestine, Ohio, a small community, about 5,000 people. And yet there are thousands of these small communities all over the United States. More often than not, these are poor working class individuals. And yet because they're deemed Trump supporters, and they're not all Trump supporters, they tend to be just basic people. And yet they lied about the seriousness of the plume. I can give you hundreds of examples from the EPA of how these plumes can stay in the soil, in the water supply, for years. In fact, I'll give you just one example. I want to say goodbye to our BA audience. We're going to continue on to the top of the show at prn.live. But give you one example. I was one of the people helping the work of the phenomenal environmentalist. She started the environmental movement in the United States, Rachel Carson, back in the 1960s. And we worked hard to ban DDT. It was an effort by a small group of people. There are not many of us. I mean, a tiny handful. Sometimes there'd be 10 of us at a demonstration. And once we banned it in 1972, it was officially banned. 50 years later, it can still be found in people's tissue and in the soils. 245D, dioxin, same. So you have all these forever chemicals, And once they're in the ground, they're there, and the water, they're there, and we don't filtrate these out. We don't filtrate medicines out. So we're lied to. These people should have been evacuated completely. Animals and people, farm animals, take everyone at least an hour away from that and either build tent cities for them for several months until the EPA can go in there and do water samples and test samples everywhere till every home can be decontaminated and their pipes cleaned, chlorinated them out so that any of the residual chemicals which were in the water, which were in their pipes, are no longer going to come through and be in their body. And to give these people some financial support. They're the ones who needed help. These people don't have much of a livelihood, and they live very close to the margin of poverty. So instead of the President of the United States and his cabinet, they're all corrupt, saying, let us put some resources into this town and help it clean up the mess. Not a single major official in 3 weeks has gone to visit the people. Not the president, not this absolute, you know, disgrace, Pete Buttigieg. He didn't have time. He's on his private time now. I see. And why wasn't FEMA sent in there immediately? But they weren't. Everyone makes an excuse. So if you want to know who someone is, just watch what they do or don't do, and that'll tell you a lot. So we have misplaced priorities. I know a lot of Americans who can't get by on the Social Security they have. And wasn't that Social Security system supposed to be in a trust so that only those who contributed could take their money out? Trillions of dollars instead were taken out by the government with IOUs put back in. These are called underfunded entitlements, but they're not an entitlement. The government never put a penny into Social Security. We put 100% of that in. It's our money, not theirs, but you wouldn't know that. You speak out about it, and suddenly you're on this someone's watch list. We're not allowed to criticize people, and that's unfortunate. So that's where we're at. So the people in power are not going to change. The corporation is not going to change. The educational institution is not going to change. The major military-industrial complex thrives on war and hegemonic practices, imperialism. The deep state thrives on disrupting any pro-democracy movement or individual. And as a result, we wonder what will get better. How about nothing in your lifetime? It's all going to get worse. Am I disappointed in it? No. It's like watching something happen where you say, do I want to get involved now or later? And if everyone says later, then it's too late. Can we change? We can change. We can improve our life. We can move to sustainable environments. We can move to communities of like-minded people. We can get off their grid, learn new talents, learn new skills. We can have quality of life without using their credit cards, reading the New York Times, watching Rachel Maddow and her disinformation. By the way, she did a terrible job of trying to condemn everyone who was at that rally on Sunday as being pro-Russian. To the contrary, no one was pro-Russian. No, they weren't pro-Putin. They were there for peace, something that she doesn't seem to understand. But then again, since when did she ever give us an objective opinion? So when you keep going back to the same sources who've given misinformation and expect something to happen in the good, it never does. So just remember that. You put these people in office, stop putting any of these politicians back in power. Create independent parties, and then get off the grid. You do that, your body will be healthier, your mind will be healthier, you'll have more freedom, and then I'll go into what I see coming up with their balkanization of America. It'll happen. We no longer have a United States of America. But I'll share those ideas on an upcoming program. Thank you all for listening. In just a minute, you're going to hear from Utrice Leaves. She'll be on the telephone talking. She's got a lot of new ideas, and I'm glad that she's, in effect, repurposing her program and its message to you. Now we're going to take a brief music break and come back with Utrice Leaves.